Hello, startup listeners. I'm Alex Bloomberg. And today, we're bringing you a little bit of a different episode. So to explain, as most of you know by now, maybe, probably, there was a network television show on ABC called Alex, Inc., which is based on the first season of Startup. And to coincide with the launch of that show, a couple weeks back, we released a binge drop of favorite startup episodes that had to do with Gimlet. We asked longtime listeners to name their favorites, and then we played the top five greatest Gimlet hits. And we also did something else. We put out a call to you, our listeners, to ask if you had any questions that you wanted us to answer about Gimlet, the TV show, anything. And we answered a few of those questions in the special after shows we had for the binge drop. But one listener got creative, so creative that we decided to dedicate a whole episode to his suggestion. That listener's name is James Jopling. He lives in Edinburgh and is the Scotland director of Samaritans, a nonprofit dedicated to reducing suicide. And his idea was to get me and my co-founder, Matt Lieber, into separate studios and ask us the same set of questions. Then bring us back into a studio together and play each other our answers. James, this ended up being a great idea. If you weren't already doing something very valuable and honorable with your life, we would try to convince you to become a podcast producer. So, James, here's how we enacted your plan. My producer, Luke, interviewed Matt and me separately. He asked us each a bunch of questions about our first impressions of one another, what we perceive as the biggest successes, biggest disappointments at Gimlet. And what you're about to hear is us all in a studio together with Luke playing us back our answers. We have not heard each other's answers, and so this is all a surprise to us. It ended up being a really interesting conversation. It was funny, it was revealing, and it made Matt and me realize there's still a lot we don't know about each other. A heads up, there is some light swearing in this episode, so if you have kids around or are otherwise not into that, let this be a warning.
So as you both know, we took you guys into separate studios the other day and we asked you a set of questions. And now we're back in the studio together this morning to play the responses to those questions to each other.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. And the first thing I asked you guys were your initial impressions of when you first met. And Matt, I'm going to play your response first.
When we first met, we had beers on the rooftop of Alex's apartment building. We were drinking Grolsch. I brought a 4-pack because thought if I brought a 6-pack, that might be too many beers. And he might think I was like too much of like a, like who drinks 6 beers at 4 p.m. with someone they've never met before in the context of like a professional networking situation. I didn't know, but Alex loves beer. So that turned out to be a good move. And I remember him being very open and nice and earnest and also really smart about where he thought the world of audio was heading and feeling frustrated in his current job, wanting to do something more and bigger and realizing that he couldn't do that within the world of public broadcasting, that he was going to have to branch out and do it himself. I also remember him thinking that he was going to be able to do it without raising money. And then when I pushed on him on it, he's like, well, maybe I'll raise like $400,000, which I thought was not very much money at all. And I was like, well, I think you'd need at least $1 million, which at the time seemed like a huge amount of money, and it is, although now it's like a rounding error.
All right.
I forgot about the Grolsch. That's right. No, that was awesome when you showed up with beer. I was like, oh, good sign.
Okay, and this is Alex's first impressions of you, Matt.
I think we were on my roof. Because there's this common area in my building that has like picnic tables and stuff. And so like, I was taking a lot of meetings with people back then and he came over and maybe we had a beer and we just talked. And my initial reaction was that he was like tall, and that he was like, really smart and that he was really, he was into it the same way I was into it. Like that felt very awesome. Like, it felt like, oh, like, I'm not going to have to convince you of this thing. Like, it feels like you're psyched about it the way I'm psyched about it. And he, you know, just is sort of preppy. He has, like, well, now I'm wearing tortoiseshell glasses, too. But, like, you know, he had, like, these tortoiseshell glasses. And I was like, I was like, oh, that's good. Like, you look like you know business stuff. You know, this is my early impressions. I remember he suggested this thing like early on, like this was in our very first meeting, but like we were like, he wrote up a business plan, you know, he was like, why don't I just write up a business plan? And I was like, that's great. A business plan. That sounds great. I didn't know what it was. Like he can do all these things that I can't do. And he has all this knowledge that I don't have. And this is going to be great. Remember the business plan?
Yes.
The completely useless.
If you wanted to see something truly embarrassing, we'd have to get out the business plan.
Why is it embarrassing?
Well, it's embarrassing because it's so wrong. The only specific thing I remember is that we were going to figure out how to use Tumblr to grow audio audiences. That was one of the things. I was like, that's one of the platforms where we're going to really break out.
So my question for you, Matt, is, you know, that was, you know, almost 4 years ago. Looking back, in what ways were you right about this first impression? In what ways were you wrong?
I think I was completely right. I think the thing I didn't, we were actually just talking about this yesterday. I think Alec, I said he's very nice and open and flexible, but he's also incredibly stubborn. And I think that I only learned over time.
Yeah. I present nice and flexible and then I'm really fucking stubborn.
Trojan horse.
Which I don't even know about myself. I fool myself. Right. So it's really frustrating for people around me where they're like, you're stubborn. I'm like, I'm not stubborn. I'm a nice guy. Can't you tell by the way I present? Yeah.
Right. I'm not stubborn. Why aren't you listening to me? I just told you I'm not stubborn.
Alex, I'm going to ask you that same question. In what ways do you think you were right about your first impressions of Matt, and in what ways were you wrong?
I think I was mostly right. I think what he demonstrated in the early days was just sort of like, he's really smart, strategic thinker. He's like really hardworking and he's really passionate about the idea. And I think all those things became truer and truer. I learned that the preppy thing is a little bit of a disguise. He's actually got the soul of a poet and he loves like documentaries about like obscure 90s art bands. And at one point in his life really wanted to be the next Scott Carrier. So that's that was a little bit of a put on. But yeah.
One of the questions I asked both of you was what you see as Gimlet's biggest success. And I'm going to play yours first, Alex.
Okay. I think for me, honestly, and this is going to sound, I'm afraid this is going to sound like a cheesy answer, but I think for me, like, we have our problems. Like, startups are messy and, like, ours was messy and, like, we're not perfect at all. But I do feel like when I think big picture and I let myself get out of the negative weeds that I'm often in, I think I'm most proud of the culture.
All right. And before we get into that, Matt, I'm going to play...
Ding, 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 ding.
Yep. Going to play your response. What do you see as Gimlet's biggest success?
I think our biggest success is... I think it's the culture.
Really?
Actually. And the fact that the... For the vast majority of people who work here, they come here and they feel supported and mutually reinforced, and they're part of a team of people that is striving to do great work.
Aw. This is like that game show. What was the game show where there was like, you had spouses and each one had to answer like what the other
the
one
was? The dating game?
No, it wasn't the dating game. It was
the
like
love connection?
Was it the love connection?
I don't know.
I just think of like the USCIS green card interview. Yeah.
Exactly. We could get green cards. Yeah. So far.
And you sounded surprised.
Well, I was happy. I was worried that it was going to be like, you know, cuz I feel like we've had arguments about culture. I think that was something that Matt was sort of like worried about much earlier than I was. I think I'd come out of public radio has a strong mission and not super strong culture.
You thought culture was basically organic, that would just, it would kind of come about on its own, and to try to impose it on a company was like dictatorial.
And also cheesy and just cheesy, sort of like, yeah. It meant like, you know, sort of sayings and contests and, you know, buttons on people's, you know, cubicles and stuff like that. You know, I was just imagining, it felt like fakey fake. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But something that struck me is that, I mean, you can hear it in the tape, like you both sounded pretty reluctant to say the actual word culture. And Alex, you actually winced when you said it. So like, why is that?
I think culture is a double-edged sword sometimes. When you talk about culture, you have to be very careful. And I think sometimes people talk about like, oh, they're not a culture fit. And often what that means is they're not like us, or like they don't like the same beer as us, or the same, or they don't look like us, or they didn't, you know, go to the same schools or whatever. So I think I winced because of all that, all the negative and positive connotations that are sort of wrapped up in that word.
That's interesting. That's not why I was reluctant.
Why were you reluctant?
Because I think our greatest achievement is our culture, and it's also, there are aspects of our culture that aren't what I want it to be. Mm-hmm. For instance, I think we're too conflict averse. I think we avoid difficult conversations too much. We're not as forceful and speedy in giving feedback to each other as I would like. So not to be like, I don't want to be a downer about it, because actually I think those are places that we are trying to and will improve on. Mm-hmm. But that was my reluctance.
Mm-hmm. Like, can you give me an example of where you think, like, give me an example of like how you've seen something that has not lived up to what you would like?
Well, I'll give you two examples. I mean, one is we just did this very extensive employee engagement survey with like, I don't know, 50 questions or 100 questions. And one of the things that came back pretty consistently where we're falling short is that people don't feel like they get enough feedback regularly enough and that's specific enough. And I think that is a function, because feedback's hard to give, because if it's constructive feedback, then it's always feels like you might hurt the other person's feelings. And so I think that conflict aversion is showing up. That's one example. That's a data example. Anecdotally, I mean, I just told Alex yesterday, there's something I've been wanting to like, there's something that's been bothering me that I've basically been like holding off on saying for 3 months because I was afraid that it was going to like really piss him off. So all of culture, I do think is a manifestation of like the founders. And so one thing we found again and again is like, if we're having an issue between us, and we don't address it, it just shows up all over the place. It's almost like magic.
Okay, so next question. I asked you guys what your biggest disagreement has been, and I'm going to play you first, Matt, and then we can talk about it. What's been the biggest disagreement that you and Alex have had?
I think it's like comes back to like my feeling of like what's the best answer to a specific problem versus what's the best answer for the company. So like whether or not to keep a show, and you like whether or not to continue doing a show or whether or not to give someone more chances. The general like meta disagreement is around whether we're trying to build a company and a business or whether we are trying to just make the best episode or make the best version of a show.
And you and Alex always fall on a specific side of that argument?
Yeah, pretty, I think we do. Yeah. I'm like Mr. Corporate. I'm like, what's the best thing for the company? That was actually our biggest disagreement early on, was I remember one time we were talking about the difference between just making a bunch of shows and building a company. And I was like, shows come and shows go, but like Gimlet is always, like Gimlet is what we're trying to build, mm-hmm. not any particular program. And we got in a pretty heated shouting match over it because he was like, what are you talking about? What is a company is just a collection of people. A company is just like shows. There's no greater company. Whereas I always think like, yeah, there is. The company is made up of the audience and the employees and the shows and the investors and us.
How did that specific disagreement end up in a shouting match?
We were in the old office and our old meeting room, and we were talking to Troy Carter. Now, Troy Carter is one of our investors, and it was in our first meeting with him, and he had come out of the music business, so he was in music management. He had become prominent because he was Lady Gaga's manager. So he dealt with a lot of like really successful creative people who had high wattage personalities and big egos. And I thought he would be a good investor because like that was going to be something we were going to have to deal with. And I remember asking Troy, like, when you have someone who's like creatively really remarkable, but is like really difficult to deal with, or like doesn't play nice with others, or like, how do you know when to say when? And I remember him saying, well, he's like, you've got the cat, and then the cat takes a shit. And when the shit becomes bigger than the cat, it's time to get rid of the cat. And I remember being like, yeah, that makes sense. To me, it's not about like any particular person or any particular show. It's about building a bigger umbrella, building this larger vision of Gimlet, and shows will come and shows will go, but Gimlet is the thing that endures. And that, what I think, that was what set off this argument. And Alex, I think, felt when he heard that, I think what he heard me saying is like, the creative people are just here to staff the factory, and it's all about like Gimlet Incorporated, not any one person's like creative ideas, and like those people will come and go. They're here at our pleasure, which was like anathema to every reason why he started this in the first place.
Yeah, I remember this, the big version of this fight happening when we went out to drinks. We were at Blueprint, which is this bar on Fifth Avenue. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time you said, like, the shows come and go, but the company is what's important. And I was like, what do you mean the shows come and go? The shows are the most important thing. And I took it very personally.
Right.
And I heard it. I did. I heard it exactly as, like, you don't care about the actual work we're doing. All you care about is, like, this idea of this company that we're building.
Yeah.
Which I know is obviously not true. And I think I've gotten to the point where I feel like this tension has not gone away at all. And I feel like I still get like more deep in the weeds. I still want to like give things more attention. I'm still slower to act mm-hmm. on things. But I view it as like a little bit of a healthy tension. Like you need to think about the larger company. But like the company is... in the end, the sum of its individual parts, and you have to care a lot about those individual parts as well.
Yep. But how have you guys managed to, if it was such a conflict at the beginning, how have you guys managed to still have this conflict and not have it impact things? Like, why are you not having screaming matches in a bar over it anymore?
I think the thing that makes you scream is what you hear the other person saying, which isn't what they're actually saying. I think that's the thing that makes you scream. It's like your interpretation. Like, I heard Matt saying, like, I don't care whether the individual shows are actually good, and I don't care about the people making the individual shows, which isn't what he was saying. And I think he heard me saying, like, screw the company. All I care about is, like, making, like, my individual works of art.
Right.
Which isn't what I'm saying.
Right. It's yeah. not exact. But yeah. we do disagree on this.
We do disagree,
so it's
yeah.
not, it's not that we, yeah. it's not that there's just a misunderstanding. We actually, there is a substantial disagreement about the degree of importance of the company versus the product.
Yeah.
And I think that's healthy.
Yeah, me too. I don't think anything good ever came out of the leadership team agreeing on everything.
I feel like we're painting this picture of like, all we do is fight all the time.
Yeah.
Which I guess you could say.
We don't always fight all the time, but like, yeah, but no, I feel like you and I fight as much as like me and Nazanin fight. You know, basically. And mm-hmm. I think that's good. I used to think that a good relationship was like one where you didn't fight ever. And I feel like now that's the exact wrong kind of relationship.
It's where you fight productively.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, coming up after the break, our conversation continues. And Luke asked me and Matt a question it's never fun to answer. That's after these words from our sponsors. Welcome back to Startup. I'm Alex Blumberg. On today's episode, we're taking a listener suggestion and making it into a podcast. Our producer, Luke, took me and my partner, Matt, into separate studios to answer questions. Then he brought us back together into a single studio and played our responses for one another. And we talked about it. My producer, Luke, picks things up here.
Okay, so for the last question, I asked each of you what you think each other's worst moment has been here at Gimlet. I'm going to play each of your answers and we'll see if you got it right. Alex, I'm going to start with your assessment of Matt's worst moment. Taking the focus off you, what has been Matt's worst moment in your eyes?
Shit. Matt's worst moment. Well, we had our 360s, and I think I had a very public reaction to the 360s, and I think he had a very equally powerful reaction to them. I think a big piece of feedback that he got was that he's not emotionally present to people, that he has like a little bit of a blank affect sometimes that people sort of project onto. And I think he doesn't think of himself that way at all. I think he thinks of himself as very sensitive and like somebody who likes artsy documentaries and emo bands and like, you know, sort of like reads, you know, literature. And like, I think that was really surprising where the people said he was like hard to read or distant or emotionally cold. But I think it was true. Like I've had that reaction where I'm just sort of like, what are you thinking? I can't tell. I don't know. You're not sharing enough of yourself.
What's it like to hear what Alex perceives as your worst moment?
Well, first of all, it pisses me off that he thinks I like emo music.
I actually don't know what emo is. I thought emo was Guided by Voices. Sorry.
No.
Okay. I don't know what actually emo means. Sorry.
That would be like lo-fi.
Yeah, lo-fi.
90s
yeah.
Indie rock.
Yeah,
more.
Exactly. I know the kind of, I know you love like Guided by Voices. That's all I want.
What was the question? How does it feel?
Yeah.
Well, I don't talk about my emotions, so I can't really answer that. No, I mean, I know this. This was the main thing that came out of when we did our 360 reviews was like, I can't understand what's going on in Matt's head. I find him like a bit inscrutable, unreachable. And how does it feel to hear that? I mean, it's not, I don't know. It's not surprising.
Well, maybe the better question is, do you rank that as one of your worst moments?
Yeah, no, it wasn't my, it's not the time I felt the worst. I actually was grateful that my peers came forward with that feedback. I thought it was a gift. So it was very powerful to see it. I mean, when you have someone take the time to write pages and pages about you, like you do recognize something new about yourself, and that's...
Am I right that it was like you were surprised, right?
I was surprised, yes. Yeah, because I always think of myself as being like really straightforward and available and open. And what the feedback was no, not like actually the opposite.
If that wasn't the worst moment for you, can you tell Alex what your worst moment was?
I talked about how the interesting thing about Gimlet is like it changes so much.
Yeah.
And that is interesting and fun, but it's also really challenging and uncomfortable because you mm-hmm. have to constantly reinvent yourself.
Right.
Like every 3 to 6 to 12 months, you have a new job mm-hmm. that you probably don't know how to do.
Yeah.
And I think the moments where I felt worst in the company were those at the beginnings of those inflection points. Uh-huh. So like after we raised each of our round of financing, it would be this sense of like, we got it done. We got the money. We got, you know, we got good new investors. And then in both cases, I would have been spending anywhere between 50 and 100% of my time on that activity for a period of months. And then at the end of it, I would be like, okay, what's next? And I always had the feeling of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I don't even know if I'm going to stay. Not in a serious way, not like ever to the point where I was like, sorry. I know you guys look both like, whoa. not in a way of serious, but I would always be like, what is going to be my long-term role at the company? Like, because mm-hmm. now we've built the team. We have a person who's like, I was the head salesperson and then we hired a salesperson. And now Anna is our VP of sales and runs a big team. She's doing well. I did finance and ops and then we hired Jim and now he runs finance and ops. And same across the whole exec team, right? And so now the team is there, and sometimes I'd be like, well, what is it left for me to do? And the truth is, the thing that's left for you to do is to build the company and run the company. And your job as a founder who's running the company, and we do this together, is not to do any specific function anymore or to get any specific task accomplished. It's to, you know, set the vision of the company, hire the team, and give them the resources they need to succeed. And so I would say after a period, I would be like, oh yeah, that is a lot. That is actually a big job.
I want to play one last bit of tape. And now, Alex, this is what Matt sees as your worst moments.
Okay.
I think his worst moments are when we've had to cancel shows. I think that's where he feels the most pain. Because going back to why I think Alex wanted to start the company. Like, the map that he uses to build the company is, what's the roads that are going to lead us to the place of this great creative home? Like, there's actually a road, and when you get there, there's a house by the side of the road, and it's called Great Creative Home, and it's a place with, like, many bedrooms and a beautiful kitchen that feeds people and supports them, and, like, a burning wood stove that keeps everyone warm, and it's a place where people can, like, do things and create things that they couldn't have otherwise because we give them the resources and support to do it. And I think the moments when we're canceling a show is like when we're kicking someone out of the home. And I think that's the most painful for him.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think that is?
Yeah. Whereas I'm like, we could build a huge condo development here. Like, let's tear down the home and build the mall. Why do I think it is? Because I think it conflicts with why he started the company and who he is as a person, his identity, mm-hmm. as being like a supporter and a enabler of other people's success.
Does that feel true to you?
Yeah. I mean, just a lot of times when we cancel shows, like, the people who work on the show are put on other things. So it's not as if we're like literally kicking people out of the home. But yes, it does feel like that. It feels awful to me. And it feels like giving up. It feels like, maybe there's a way that we could tweak it or make it work or, you know, and I think that's, yeah, I think we do it. And then I'm like, often in retrospect, I'm like, that was the right decision. That wasn't going to work for various reasons. And it makes sense. And often the reasons are logistical or because of, you know, staffing issues or whatever. There's all sorts of reasons that something doesn't work. But yeah, in the moment, I hate letting things go. Yeah.
And when you see Matt a little bit more able to make those decisions, what does it make you feel or think? Like, do you wish you could be more like Matt in that regard? Do you find him some callous condo builder?
I mean, I think there's always a period where I'm just sort of like the selfish inner child part of me that's like mad and wants somebody to be mad at is going to be like, you condo builder, like, why don't you care as much as I care? But I don't think he's actually, like, I think you're being sarcastic to a certain extent. Like, yes, we're trying to build something that isn't just like a rustic guest house, but it's also like we're trying to build something meaningful and not like completely bland and, you know, personalityless. And so
something classy.
Something classy. It's a classy mall. But now I recognize it as sort of like, this feels to me like the very healthy different perspective tension that we have. Like, if we were both exactly the same, like, we're just mall building here, we would have a very different company that neither one of us would want to have. And if it was just me, like, we're just gonna like not ever make hard decisions about anything or not ever think about like strategy, I think we would have a very different company that neither one of us would like. I really believe that. I'm not just like trying to put like a happy face on something. I think that's actually true. And I think the people here feel that way. Like, people feel safer if they see us making hard decisions and like actually taking them seriously.
So we all want to have a lovely, comfy home, but we need a strong foreman to keep things moving along.
I think that's very true.
Yeah. All right. So there you have it. Talked a little bit, learned some things about each other. Next week, we're bringing you another special episode where Zach Braff and I talk on stage about the unlikely chain of events that led to the Startup Podcast becoming an ABC television show. My co-host, Lisa Chow, will be interviewing the two of us, Zach Braff and me, as part of NYC Podfest. That's a podcasting festival here in New York. For those of you who are not able to make it, which I guess is probably most of you, we're going to play that conversation for you here on the podcast. That's coming up next week. Me and Zach Braff in conversation. The most meta podcast in the world just got a little bit more meta. Today's episode was produced by Luke Malone and Simone Polanen. It was edited by Devin Taylor, Lisa Chow, Molly Messick, and me. Andrew Dunn mixed the episode. For full music credits, visit our website, gimletmedia.com. Thanks again to James Joplin. To subscribe to Startup, go to Apple Podcasts or whichever app you use, or check out the website, gimletmedia.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @podcaststartup. Thank you for listening.